We were all sitting in a room like we had many times before in the past month. But this time, something different happened. I started to hear this building roar, like a wind coming in. And actually, I was curious if it was my ears or something else. And then I saw the faces of the other people. Then it wasn't just a sound. It's what we saw. It was like a fire on the ceiling, and the tongues of the fire came down and touched us. And not only did we see and we hear, but something changed in us. It was where we were praying before, there is apathy, and there is fear, and there is uncertainty, and there is just an unwillingness to step into what was next. Then the prayers changed because we changed. There was excitement and passion and faith that erupted in us, so we were transformed. Then Peter got up and he went outside, and we were all curious what Peter was going to do because we're always curious what Peter's going to do next. And he started to talk just to the random people outside the building. And as he started to talk, it was the same old Peter, but he was different. His words are different. They carried an authority that was transformed, and you could see it in the people's faces. You could see the difference that there was something astonishing happening in them. We talked to them later and found out that Peter was using our language. We could hear him talk, but people heard him in their native languages from all over the world. He talked for a long time, and the crowd kept growing and kept growing. Some of them mocked him because he was so excited that he actually seemed a little drunk, but he wasn't. It was just an excitement for what God had done in him that day and what God had done through Jesus not long ago. Later that day, we went down and we actually were able to baptize those that chose to follow Jesus. There was 3,000 people that chose to be baptized that day. From our group of followers, we now had 3,000 people who were going to be followers of Jesus, who were followers of the way of him. And as I laid in my bed that night, I thought, uh-oh. I'm one of Jesus' followers, and I need to know how to actually lead these 3,000 people. My name is Bobby. I'm the pastor of community life here at Ross Road, and this is my retelling of the stories of Acts 2, where the Holy Spirit came, and God himself dwelt in Jesus' closest followers in a meeting, and then Peter goes outside, and he preaches, and 3,000 people chose to be baptized and to follow Jesus that day. And it made me wonder, what were they thinking that night? Their little group that was just starting, that was just forming the first church, they would have been, okay, what happens next? We now have 3,000 people. What are we going to do? What is this life going to look like for us? And then I thought, that's almost where we're at. I mean, completely different in a lot of different ways. But we as a church are also asking, what's next? You in your personal life may be asking, what's next for me? I mean, we've been in a pandemic situation for 2 years, and we all know that we're not going back to the old normal. We're not going to have church in the same way. We're not going to have life in the exact same way. And if we think that that's our goal, is to go back to what it used to be, it's probably not going to happen. So what's next for us? Because if our goal as a church was just to meet on Sundays, then our church would have died 2 years ago. If our goal as a church was just to have happy and fun ministries that are joyful, it would have stopped two years ago, because ministry has been hard. It's been difficult to know what we can do, what's safe, what's the best way to do it, how can we even communicate in a way that we don't have too much conflict from people on this side or people from that side. Our church would be dead if we weren't about something more. And that's what I think that this first church looked at as well. They didn't look at too much on what are we going to do, but they thought, what are we about? And that's what we're going to look at in Acts 2, 42 to 47 today. And remember, this is the first church. They didn't have any churches before. It was about 40 days after Jesus had gone to heaven. And they just were transformed, and they just had 3,000 people become new Christians, new followers of Jesus, and they weren't sure what was going to happen yet. And this is the next section here. It says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. all the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in the homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Now, what they're talking about, what is actually going to be happening in the church, and it's actually a little bit of a summary statement for the next few chapters of Acts, and also for the church and what their purpose is and what some of the things that they do throughout Acts and throughout the church's history for 2,000 years now. And in the next couple chapters, you're going to see specific examples of what actually was happening in this first church. So they were about certain things that really drove what they did. Now, the first thing that they are about is that they were about pursuing God. Verse 42 says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. All of these acts are different ways that they could draw closer to God, to pursue God. One word that we use for that is discipleship. The teaching was from the apostles, the eyewitness accounts of what Jesus said, what he did. We don't have eyewitnesses that we can call up Paul and invite him to come to our church, or call up Peter and get him to come to our church and talk about what Jesus did. But what we have today is we have his words and the words of other people who saw Jesus and interviewed people who actually interacted with Jesus and saw what happened in the first church. And that's where our authority comes, is as we look to how we can pursue Jesus. We look to his word as one of the foundations of our faith that everything must align to. So they looked at the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, how they actually interacted and loved each other. Hebrews 10 talks about them spurring each other on toward love and good deeds, helping them grow in their walk with Jesus. It talks about breaking of the bread, which is just calling them to the Lord's Supper. Communion is what we call it today, and remembering Jesus' death and his resurrection, and that being something that they hold on to that transforms their entire lives, and to prayers that invite us to look to God, to surrender to him, to submit to him, and to invite him into our world. The first church was about pursuing God, and that's what we are about too, is that we are about pursuing God and what he has done for us, so we respond and grow to him. Now, it wasn't just about programs and ministry, because their ministry probably wasn't that good, especially as they got started. For instance, they had apostles' teaching from Peter and John, but just two chapters later in Acts 4, after one conversations with Peter and John, the religious leaders said that they were ordinary and unschooled. If they're around today, we might call them rednecks from the South, because of the way that they kind of talked, and they didn't seem very intelligent, even though they had this underlying authority. They had this underlying transformation that happened from God. They were transformed by God, and that's where they got their authority. So their program there wasn't about being great. Their teaching wasn't about being great. Their teaching was about God. And that's what they pointed to again and again. That's what their prayers pointed to. That's what the Lord's Supper pointed to. That's what whatever they did, the fellowship pointed to. It was what God was doing in them and through them. So they were about pursuing God. And that's what we at Ross Road are about too. We are about pursuing God. And we want ministries that reflect that, that we can help people from nursery kids to children's ministry to youth to adults and young adults and to our encore seniors ministry. All of us, we want to continually pursue God in whatever we do. What else was the first church about is that they were about loving each other. In verse 44 to 46, it says, all the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. They had this fellowship with one another that was a sacrificial love. They enjoyed getting together, and they loved each other so much that they would actually sacrifice their own wants and their own needs for others. They'd sell their possessions and even their property when other people had need. Now, I believe we actually have a very generous church. But if I was to guess on one of our issues at our church, it's not the people being generous and willing to give. It's actually the one people, when we are in need, to admit our need. In Western culture, especially the Western church, there's this underlying belief that we need to be enough, that we need to do everything on our own, that we need to be self-sufficient. So actually admitting our needs is tough. But in the first century church, it's what they did. And as we read the Bible, we learn that we're not enough, and it's okay to admit that. And when we're okay to admit our needs, when we're okay to admit our weaknesses, other people can come in and show us God's love. So as a church, we can be both people who give, but also people who admit our needs, who admit our weaknesses so that others can come in and love us. And not only was the first church generous with their possessions and with their property, they're generous with their lives. They shared their lives with each other, getting it together daily in the temple and in each other's homes to have meals together, to enjoy each other's company with glad and sincere hearts. They were joy-filled experiences. And the sincerity shows that they didn't have to perform, they didn't have to show off, they didn't have to do anything special, but they actually were able to be themselves in a place that they could admit their wants, admit their needs, and just show where they're struggling or show where they're even succeeding, because sometimes it's even hard to share what we're succeeding. And as they did that, they were able to share each other's love because they were about loving each other. And that's what we want to be about too at Ross Road Community Church. That again is tough, especially in our individualistic culture, where it's really easy to finish work, be tired from a day, and drive into our garages and close it behind so that nobody can talk to us, and walk into our houses, and maybe we'll go on social media or connect with other people a little bit. But we're not really sharing our lives with others. We're not having this community living atmosphere that actually the New Testament church thrived upon. Last year, I had a goal. My goal was to have 3 refrigerator friends. Now, a refrigerator friend is someone who actually, when they're at your house, they will go into my refrigerator without even asking, because they know it's okay, it's not a big deal, that we're so close that they don't have to feel like they have to ask permission to get a drink from my fridge or get a snack or anything like that. I think that used to happen a lot more often, when we used to be a more community-oriented culture, but less and less that can happen. And it's been even harder over the past few years to actually have that kind of friendship where people feel close and welcome so they can just be themselves around us. We want to be a church that loves each other and we are involved in each other's lives. I want to invite you to actually do that this year. If you're not part of a life-giving community of people who cares and who challenges and who loves others, to step into that. To maybe that means phoning people more or sharing what God's doing in your life. Or it could even mean joining a care group. Care groups are a great way for people in our church to actually connect with one another on a regular basis and to live life, to have a community life and life-giving experiences as they share what God's learning, as they encourage each other, as they spur one another on, as they love each other and share each other's burdens. Whatever it is, that we are a church that wants to be loving each other. Now, something else that the first century church was also about is that they were about loving their community. And that's what we're about too, is about loving our community. Now, it didn't say any specific words about how, the different ministries that they had or how they actually did that, but there's a couple clues that this was actually happening. First of all, it says that people were in awe of the many wonders and signs that they performed. Likely, some of these wonders and miracles that they did was healing people who didn't know Jesus. And people were inspired to know, where is this power coming from? Or later on, it says that they enjoyed the favor of all the people. The people saw them and saw their integrity and their character and how they loved. And so they were compelled to know more. It was an irresistible environment that people wanted to know more. Maybe they didn't know what, or they didn't believe what they believed, but they wanted to know how they were transformed, how they were changed. And the passage actually ends with people were added to their numbers daily. So more and more people chose to follow Jesus. We want to be a church that loves our community so that more and more people can encounter him. That people around our town may say, I've met a couple people from Ross Road, and they're different. They're not judgmental, but they love unconditionally. Or maybe there's even a couple signs and wonders that people hear about and say, my friend, actually, he was prayed for at Ross Road, and he was healed. And what I want even more is that more and more people can choose to follow Jesus at our church. Maybe it's not daily, but it could be weekly, where somebody new chooses to follow Jesus because of the work and the ministry, both at Ross Road and in the lives of those in our church. What are we about? And we are about loving our community. So, as a church, three things that the first century church was about, and what we are about, is we are about loving each other, we're about pursuing God, and we're about loving our community. So what does this all add up to? It adds up to our big idea today is that we are about helping people get close to God. We're about helping people get close to God, whether they're far from God or whether they're exploring or maturing. We have a discipleship path at Ross Road that goes that kind of outlines very broadly what a typical discipleship path looks like as we get closer and closer to Jesus, from exploring Christ to growing in Christ, to maturing in Christ, to following or to abiding in Christ. And there's different catalysts that can help us grow up, and we want to help people actually get closer and closer to Jesus as they discover his truth, as they create rhythms in their lives of spiritual practices like the teaching and like prayer, and they learn to actually live out their life to love other people so that they can just enjoy Jesus more in their lives. We are a church that wants to help people get closer to Jesus. That's also outlined in two big statements from Jesus. The first is Matthew 22, 36 to 40, where he actually is called the greatest commandment, because a religious leader comes up to him and he says this: "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it: love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commands." God is saying that we are supposed to be about loving God and loving others, and that's how we can help people pursue God, and that's the way that we can love God. Another big statement of Jesus was his last words to his disciples in Matthew, and it's called the Great Commission in Matthew 28, 18 to 20. "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age.'" God is calling us to invite new people to him, helping people find him and helping people follow them in their obedience. And we are, as a church, that is what we want to do. That is what we are about, to have ministries that help people do that. So we're here in the first of 3 weeks where we're talking about an extending our impact building campaign. And how does this fit into what we're all about? First of all, we are not about just having a fancy building to look cool or to have a nice building or so that people can feel impressed by us. Because our main goal is not to have a fancy building. Our main goal is to help people find and follow Jesus. And that's what we're about. But to help people do that, we need ministries. And those ministries, from discipleship ministries to worship ministries to evangelism, to whatever kind of ministries we have, we want them all to be about helping people find and follow Jesus. But often, those ministries need a physical location. The first church in Acts 2, actually, it mentions a couple physical locations that they had. The first one was the temple. It says they met in the temple every day. Now, that temple was not actually a Christian temple. That temple was the Jewish temple. And they met in one of the outer courts where there was outsiders, people who didn't know who Jesus was, who were regularly going and attending the temple, where the Christians could teach and preach, and other people felt welcome to join because it wasn't actually the Christian space. And these outsiders would engage, and that was one of the reasons that they were able to add people to their numbers daily, is because daily people were being exposed to Christianity. Now, in Abbotsford. Today, we don't have a place that's a public square where people are already feeling welcome to join in a public place. So we need a building to be able to do our teaching and to do our ministries. And we want a building that is welcoming to others. Not that people are feeling impressed with the building, but that people come in and they do feel welcome. It feels open, and there's light, and there's enjoyment, and there's something where they say that they don't have to feel concerned about how people are judging them or what they're looking or, but they know where to look for. They know where to go. We want a building that's accessible to all people. Right now, we don't have a ramp or an elevator to get to our second floor. So we want people who maybe have disabilities. Especially right now, our kids' wing is all on the second floor. So if we had a child in a wheelchair come to our church, they would have to be carried up the stairs every single week. We want a building that is accessible to all people so that they can pursue Jesus in their lives without hindrance, with as few obstacles as possible, to see him as the good God who died for their sins. In Acts 2, it also mentions having how they met in homes. And many of our ministries at Ross Road do meet in homes at times, especially care groups meet in homes, but not all ministries can meet in homes. Especially kids and youth is one specific because of child protection policies and other things that and other space requirements and places for games and fun, and the way that we do kids ministry in our culture needs to have a good place for them. But currently, our building is not as accessible, it's not as welcoming to kids and youth as it can be. And we also, our child protection policy, there are some areas that our building has some weaknesses in that we just want to make our kids safe and feel as safe as possible. Our youth don't have a designated space here, and we want a place where the youth can come in and they feel like they're at home. They feel like they're so at home that they're excited to invite their friends to. A place where they go, okay, this church values me. Because we value kids, and we value youth, and we value adults, and we value young adults, and we value seniors. Everyone at our church, we want to have a place where they can grow closer to Jesus. And that's what the Extending Our Impact is all about. It's not the primary focus of our church. Our primary focus is God and who he is. And our ministries want to help us get people closer to him, and our building can help our ministries. Right now, our building is a limiting factor, and we want to have the best space available to help people get closer to Jesus. Now, over the next few weeks, we're going to talk about actually inviting you to pledge. For those of you who haven't pledged yet, it's an invitation for you to pray and think about how you can be involved in this process, in this partnership, in renovating our buildings. So that is the best place possible for people to get closer to Jesus. That may actually require some sacrifice. Maybe it means not buying a new coat, or maybe it means actually not going on the vacation that you were thinking about, or even for some of you, it might be like the first century church where they sold property. They were all in on doing whatever it took to help people get closer to Jesus. We too want to be all in to help people get closer to Jesus, and we want to invite you to be a part of that. Now, it might mean that some of you are actually feeling like you should do this just because you should. Or some of you may even feel like you're going to do it because you feel good about yourself. And if those are your only reasons for giving, then I'm going to maybe caution you not to give. And that's because if that's the reason you're going to be giving, it's going to leave you wanting. It's not going to actually fulfill the desire that you want, because over time, you're going to see that you're not going to get the desires and the wants that you want. But for those of you that want to surrender your whole life to the goodness and control and sovereignty of God, and you realize that what God does with your money is far greater than what you can do with your money, and maybe that what God can do with your money is the way that you spend it or invest it in other things, or maybe that's how you are actually going to pledge to be a part of this Ross Road, or maybe it's going to be even a faith exercise for you to say, I don't know how I'm going to actually come up with this, but I'm going to trust that God will help me. So we invite you to be a part of what God is doing, and we believe that he will deliver. Because we don't know what's going to happen next. We don't know what's going to happen next in the pandemic. We don't know what's going to happen next and how we're actually going to be able to use our facilities. But we do believe that God is inviting us to take a step of faith forward, to believe that he wants to use our building to do more than we can ask or imagine, just as he did in the Acts 2 church, just as he did signs and wonders through the people and people were inspired and in awe of what happened. Just as he created favor in the people's hearts, just as he added to their number daily, we believe that God is going to honor our faith as he honors our faithfulness to step into whatever is next, even though there's so much uncertainty. We know that God is greater than anything. And as we choose to follow him, he will honor us and he will show us that we can be a church that helps people find and follow him. And we invite you to be a part of that. Let's pray. God, I thank you for that you would choose to partner with us to help people to get closer to you, to find and to follow you in whatever they are doing in their lives. We acknowledge that a building can't do that on its own, but we need you. God, I pray that you would give direction, that you would give faith, that you would give just the hope and the wisdom on how we can move forward as a church. Because God, we want your name to be glorified. And we thank you that you have invited us to be a part of that. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.